It's Food Friday, and this week we're exploring our spice rack. From cardamom to cumin and poppies to peppers, a spice can add a subtle flavor to a dish, or it can be the star of the show. But what spice should we use for a particular dish? What spices work best together, and how much should we use? Our next guest has lots of advice. Mark C. Stevens is the author of Cooking with Spices, 100 recipes for blends, marinades, and sauces from around the world. Mark, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
You're clearly a big spice fan. How did you get there? What made you fall in love with spices, Mark?
The world travelness of it all, Rob. I've been to all seven continents, although Antarctica doesn't have very many spices. I've been able to uncover rocks and stones and logs and get a lot of flavors in my mouth from around the world, and it has inspired me to get it out there.
And you write a little bit about the history of spices, and it's pretty amazing. Empires were created in pursuit of spices, trying to find them all over the globe, and now they all come to us. It's a great time to cook.
100%. Never in our history as a species has so many flavors been so available. And we tend to think of things as rare still, but certainly now you can get your hands on almost anything.
And let's get our definition straight here, because the lines are a little blurry for me sometimes. What is a spice versus an herb, or in Salt's case, a mineral?
Yeah, so this is a mistake or miscategorization that goes up to the highest levels of the culinary world, I found, just from speaking to people. And also the definition that comes into my book, because there's no herbs in it. The herb will be the leaf dried or stem dried of a plant. And then the spice is basically anything else. So the rhizome, roots, dried berry, flower, dried flower, and everything there before. And salt, of course, is a mineral, and I fought very hard to include salt in this book because, of course, we use it like a spice in almost everything.
And let's get some general spice basics here. I have, and I was mistaken in this, it turns out, I used to think, okay, salt, spices, they're dry. It doesn't matter really how fresh they are. Wrong?
1,000% wrong. If a 1,000 can be a percent, it's wrong. Spices definitely lose their flavor. They surprisingly hold up very, very well when they're whole. There's one way that you can identify a pretty reputable spice dealer is to buy whole spices and then grind them yourself. But once they're ground, you're looking at 6 months to a year maximum for the really like potent flavor that you want to get out of them, that they're going to last.
And talk about care and storage of our spices. How do we keep them good as long as we can?
Oh man, how much time do we have on this program? Because there's so many things that go into storing spices that can help you preserve them. The biggest thing that surprised me a while back was just don't add your spice over the stove as you're cooking the dish from the jar, because the heat, the things that'll lose the flavor the most, Rob, are heat, sunlight, wetness, and that's why you always want to store them in a dry, cool, dark place, like the cabinet away from above the stove. But even if, you know, you're shaking your jar of paprika over your simmering chicken or whatever it is, all that heat and moisture that's coming off the stove is going right into it, can clump it up, make it lose its flavor. So the best thing to do is glass, metal jars, cool, dry place that's dark. And since most of them companies try to save money with packaging in plastic, as sort of what I was getting to earlier, transfer them. Get a bunch of metal or glass small jars and just transfer them, and you'll find much more success in your storage.
One big lesson I've gotten here on Food Friday from guests in the past was, in the past, I think I was kind of shy with my spices. I'm going to use a little here, a little there. Don't want to waste it. And now I have more of an attitude like, use it or lose it. It's only going to be good for so long. Try it, experiment with it. Is that a better way to tackle my spices?
I think so. I mean, that's sort of the point of this book, is to get you out of your wheelhouse and your comfort zone. Most of us as home cooks, which I am, I'm not a professionally trained cook, but also why I wanted to write the book, is a lot of us use five spices that we're comfortable with. And if we can't pronounce the name of it or we are uncomfortable with how it's used, maybe we don't use as much of it. However, all these spices have had a relationship that goes back hundreds of years with each other, too. And a lot of them go together. A lot more of them go together than we might imagine. So innovation and getting out of your comfort zone and wheelhouse is absolutely, absolutely encouraged.
We're talking on Food Friday with Mark C. Stevens. His new book is called Cooking with Spices. And Mark, get us out of our comfort zone a little. Give us a couple of spice combos that we might want to experiment with, things that work really well together that might not be at front of mind or at the top of our spice drawer.
Sure. Well, the great synergy, right, is spice and herbs together. They can add a lot of both super strong and subtle flavors, since generally the difference between spices and herbs are, one, the stem and the rest of the plant. Also, wars have been fought over spices. Very few wars and bloodshed have been fought over herbs. But also they just go so well together. One of my favorite spices that has come out of this book and also my most recent travels is sumac. And sumac, we don't know very much about, but if you go to the Middle East or Germany, anywhere there's a big Turkish population or Maghrebian population, you'll find sumac on kebabs and stuff, and it goes so good with thyme. Like, sumac and thyme are incredible, and they're good for chicken, shrimp stews, even just rice. So that's one of my go-tos if I'm sort of running out of ideas. And they're also two of the three ingredients in a very famous spice blend called za'atar, but that's not something that we normally get into. What else? Let's see. Nutmeg and sage are super good.
Actually, I want to stick with sumac for a second, because that's one of the recipes you shared with us. It's on the WPR.org/foodfriday. It's sumac blackberry agridulce marinade. Tell us about that.
So this is... it's one of my favorites. I've probably made this one more than any other recipe in the book. The blackberries make it very sweet. There's corn syrup in there, and you cook that down, and you come out with this really amazing agrodolce. It's also sort of a gastrique, if you want to get French with it. And it goes so well with so many things, but especially duck, pork chops, things of that nature. You can put it on chicken, or you can just put it on crackers and serve it in a party. And this recipe has a special place in my heart, because I have an Italian grandmother. She's 92, and she's very traditional and cooks very traditionally, and as you can imagine, cooks fantastically. I mean, my childhood with her recipes was filled with culinary delights. But when you tell your Italian grandmother that you're writing a cookbook and it's not about Italian food, there's a lot of suspicion. And what exactly are you doing it with? And I tested a bunch of recipes at her house this summer and just got away off the grid and off the internet for a while just to get through a lot of the research. And this was the first recipe that I made that she tried, and her eyebrow perked up and her got the expression in her face that maybe I wasn't going to be a failure, because she actually liked it and admitted as much, which are two very different things for Italian grandmothers. So I really love this sauce. I make it all the time, and it goes well on so many things, and it can also be used as a marinade. And throughout the book, I've tried to make a lot of these recipes useful for more than one thing, and then also tie in to other recipes in the book, so that when you start cooking from it and when you start learning from it, you don't end up in the situation where you've opened a recipe book, you've gone to the store and got the ingredients, you've made that recipe once, and then 3 years later you move and you find those spices that you bought in the back of your cupboard unused since that time you bought them. So there's a lot of sumac recipes in here, and there's a lot of things that can go together. And for instance, on the other page of this one, there's the sumac eggplant paste, and if you make those two things together, those two recipes, and you have two courses, they pair excellently together.
And Mark, it seems like where you're trying to get us is even I don't need a recipe. I know if I'm going to make chicken this certain way, I know this combination of 2-3 spices and this other herb that I know I have, that's going to work together. I'm going to have that feel for what I need and how it's going to play together.
Absolutely. You hit it on the head. And these are all good starters, good places to get your gloves on in terms of working with the spices. But ideally, you take what you learn from the book and the spice individual spice profiles in the book, learn what goes together that works for you, and you also add them to your recipes. You've been doing something for 2 or 3 years or something every Friday or once a month. Jazz it up with this one easy step. That's one step away from what you normally do. And then that opens up the next step and the whole other world. And then you're starting to cook without the recipes and just saying, oh, I'm using this. I know it goes with that. And feeling comfortable doing that.
We're talking to Mark C. Stevens right now. He's the author of Cooking with Spices, 100 Recipes for Blends, Marinades, and Sauces from Around the World. You can join our Food Friday conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you need a recommendation for a spice to jazz up a favorite dish? Do you have a favorite spice that you want to share with us? Do you need some help figuring out what to do with what's in your spice rack right now? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave a comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Find some recipes while you're there. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Food Friday. We're talking about spices with Mark C. Stevens. He's the author of Cooking with Spices, 100 Recipes for Blends, Marinades, and Sauces from Around the World. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you need some advice for Mark on what kind of spices to add, something to experiment with, something to maybe add a new wrinkle to a favorite dish of yours? Or do you have a favorite go-to spice or combo of spices that you go back to again and again? Do you feel a little shy about using spices, don't want to overdo it, need somebody to talk you down a little bit? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Mark, we got an email from Justin who just wanted to know if it's pronounced paprika or paprika. I go with paprika. I love it. I think you do too, Mark, and it makes a lot of appearances in your book.
It's a standard go-to for any Italian, and as a dual citizen, I can't make a meal without using it. It's a law over there, and it's paprika in my house.
And it makes an appearance in another recipe you shared with us. We have it at WPR.org/Food Friday, a peri-peri dry rub. I've had peri-peri chicken. I love it. It's like, what, Afro-Portuguese, African-Portuguese combination, paprika, and a lot of other spices. Can you talk us through this rub?
Yeah, and it can be just used as a spice as well. I put it in as a rub because I love to smother things in it before I cook, but you can put it on the table almost like you would paprika or chili powder. And it's really tangy. It's got that West African life, Portuguese soul, and it's a really, really great blend that actually incidentally almost got me arrested one time.
Okay, you got to tell us that story.
Okay. During the writing of this book, I was offered a retreat barn, writing barn in Vermont at the home of the owners of Shackleton Thomas Furniture, really wonderful people that I met in Antarctica and descendants of relatives of Ernest Shackleton, who nearly discovered the South Pole. And I did a big cookout for them. I do these giant Argentine barbecues inspired by Francis Malman, who's a hero of mine. And I would say it was 9-10 hours of straight cooking, Rob, over a campfire. Argentine barbecue, meat and pits, pineapples, chickens hanging from trees over smoke. And I had just got this peri-peri blended up, and I was using it and throwing it on absolutely everything. Anything I could see, I was throwing. If someone would bring out an apple pie, and I was like, come here, give me that. Anyway, I go home the next day. That was sort of the end-bang barbecue of my time there. And I'm in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and going through security. I would say it's an 8-seat plane. I'm the first one in line, and they spot me for the random. You know how they do the random checks now where
Sure.
they they butter you up with the knob and put it in for the testing for chemicals, and the whole place goes off in like an alarm clock. And the guy's like, obviously, sir, would you mind stepping over here? We're going to search your things. And I was like, okay. He's taking out all of my things from my bag and unwrapping T-shirts and finding all of these spices, you know. And it's sort of really awkward because it's happening in front of the 7 other passengers on this plane. And it's like, what is this guy doing? There's horseradish sauce, and then finally out comes the piri piri sauce, and he smells it and looks over at me with the most accusatory look. I smell my own hands at that point, and it smells like a firehouse, right? Because I've just been cooking. I was like, sir, I'm sorry. I was yesterday over a campfire all day long. And so they test everything. They go through each spice, and it takes, I don't know, 45 minutes at this point. The plane's late. But eventually he lets me through, and we all get on the plane, and it was like dead silence. Finally, somebody right behind me asks, I got to ask, what is going on with your bag, you know? And so I was like, look, I'm writing this book, it's a spice book. I thought everyone was going to be really mad because we were late, but everybody was really excited. I think I made 7 sales right there.
And you smelled great, I imagine.
And I smelled great for like 3 days. The stuff's not easy to get off, so use judiciously.
We're talking about cooking with spices with Mark C. Stevens, author of the book Cooking with Spices, 100 Recipes for Blends, Marinades, and Sauces from Around the World. You mentioned fruit there. You were throwing spices on apple pie. You've got a couple pages devoted to what spices go well with what fruits. I'm at a level with you, Mark. I don't usually put spices on my fruit. I'm weirdly allergic to cinnamon, so I don't even do that basic. Tell us some of your favorite combos.
Okay. So in going back to the Francis Malman obsession I had, I was in Argentina a couple times over the past year, and this wood fire grilling that they do over coals adds the most magical smoky flavor to fruit. It has been my half obsession in grilling over the past couple years. So pineapple is amazing. And what's amazing on pineapple is paprika. It's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. It's crazy. Put a little bit of honey and paprika mix and slather it on the pineapple, like slice it whole, like, you know, in strips and cut out the core. And as you're grilling it, honey and paprika, and it comes out amazing. And just right before it blackens, take it off. And it's like this sweet, hot, kind of spicy deliciousness. It's really amazing. The last time I did one, I bought a house here in New Orleans where I live, and I had a housewarming party, and we cut up a bunch of papaya, and we put straight chili powder on the papaya as we were grilling it. And when I tell you, it was scavenged by the crowd. I've rarely seen things be so venomously eaten as I have on that day. And then those are two just off the top of my head, but a couple from the book are cumin, nutmeg on avocados, which most people wouldn't expect, and then also anardana, which is not easy to find, but it's dried pomegranate seeds, and if you mash those up and grind them up, they go good on a lot of things. What else is good? Allspice, cumin, spicy things on lemon and citrus always go great together. And I don't know, let's say pears. Oh my God, I love pears. you're allergic to cinnamon.
Yeah, sorry, man.
For those who aren't, it's a great pairing, but perhaps you could throw on a little bit of vanilla, maybe even just a dash of vanilla extract if you have it laying around.
Ooh, that sounds fantastic too. We've got one more recipe you shared with us, backcountry chimichurri sauce. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Chimichurri, for those who are not in the know, is the heart and soul to me of Argentine barbecue. It's a green sauce. It's made with parsley and a whole bunch of herbs, also spices. Throw a chili in there if you like a little bit of heat, which I do for sure, and olive oil, and you get this green sauce that you put directly on steak. The steak comes off the grill. You cut it up into pieces, and you put chimichurri on it. And it's like a, it's like a tango in your mouth. It is fantastic. And I've had it for quite some time. The time I've had it that expressed the most to me was I was backcountry hiking in Argentina and Patagonia, and we did 4 or 5 backcountry hikes, and we go into the mountains, and then we come out, and of course you're backcountry hiking, so you're taking only what you need and eating very little, sandwiches and whatnot, and then we'd come back out and just gorge on steak and chicken and not a lot of vegetables in that culinary culture. And we went to Bariloche, where we met up with this crew of Argentines, and we had been in the woods, so we wanted to host them over. So we hosted them at our guest house, and we did it up. We made chicken, and I made pasta, and we had a private chef with us, and she did the table and the arrangement, and it looked like something you could put in Food and Wine magazine. and they all loved it. And the next night, they invited us over to their house in the backyard, and they did this Argentine parrilla in basically a hole in the ground where they cooked this lamb and had rolls and made empanadas and grilled them up and, of course, had steak. And they put this chimney on it and served it to us in basically on cardboard trays and passed it around. And we were like, we have done everything wrong our whole entire life. We do not know what we're – this is the way to eat. You know, this is the way to host. And it was really funny because later on, as we became better friends with these folks, we met them in Buenos Aires later, and they confessed to us, they were like, you know, we went over to your house, and you guys had just come out of the woods, and you're not even from Argentina, and you host.
That's great. We have to leave it there. Out of time, Mark C. Stevens, his new book is called Cooking with Spices. Find recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday.